Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Who are you discipling? That's our topic. As Pastor Don said, we've been going through the Kingdom Culture series. We did this last year, and we just feel it's something to bring before our people across our locations on an ongoing basis. Because, you know, we all know that it's easy to get, you know, sort of sidetracked by life. We just need to keep coming back to the key to who we are. So great to be here again. I think I was here earlier in the year, but I've just got back from holidays, so hopefully I can focus, because you know what holidays do to you. They ruin you, don't they? No, not really. But here we go. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read from verse 16 through to verse 20. It says here, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. I think it's come up behind me. Hopefully it's in the same version. Otherwise, just follow on anyway. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Father, I would pray that this morning that you will open our ears to hear what the Spirit would say to your church. We want to be sincere followers of Christ. And God, sometimes we just need to open ourselves to remind ourselves of the things that are important. But to me, what's important this morning is that what you want to say to your people comes through the words of me as your servant, as I present this word. And so I pray that our hearts will be open, but the Holy Spirit will speak into each and every life. Amen. You know, I'm standing here today because about 44 years ago, just over 44 years ago, some people in my life took enough interest in my eternal life to walk the journey with me. You know, firstly, through some of my rebellious years as a teenager, they helped me through to my transition to become a fully devoted follower of Christ. Now, salvation was at a point of time in my life, it was instantaneous. It happened one night in a crusade meeting in November 1975. But my conversion was a process that actually began well before I made the decision to follow Christ. You see, now while the experience has been different for each one of us, if we reflect back on our own salvation and our own journey, we all need people in our lives who help us navigate the way. Now, for me, it was a slow process. It took about 4 years until I came to accept the reality of who Jesus was in relation to how that would impact my life, to truly become a follower of Christ and for my life to be changed and transformed. I walked that journey for 4 years. I was a bit slow. But, you know, some people take even longer than that. But during that time, I knew who Christ was, but I was not at the point where I was able to or felt worthy enough, if you like, to take him and accept him as a savior of my life. Now, I've been fully involved in church life from the day that I made that commitment in 1975. And yes, I'd been attending church for a couple of those years beforehand, on and off with, you know, and I'd been to youth groups and all those things, and I'd built this friendship group. But at that point, I was still sort of not regularly committed. I didn't know it at the time, but what was happening is I was on a discipleship process. I was being discipled without even really knowing it. Some of my friends were helping me on the journey, and from that day in late November 1975, I was born again, and the journey of my discipleship continued from that moment. The difference at that point was that at the moment of my own salvation, it then became my personal responsibility to take what God had done in my life and replicate it in the life of others. That's the call of Matthew 28, and that became my personal responsibility at that very moment in my life. Now, in those early years of enthusiasm and passion for what God had done in my own life, I was eager for other people to hear that message from me. I was eager for my family to understand, what was going on. My parents had grown up in church life, but it was very different than the church that I'd joined, and so they said, "What's this you've got involved in?" But eventually they came to know the Lord as well. And family and friends I would share with and help them to try and help them to understand what had happened in my life. Even though I'm by nature a very reserved person, I'm an introvert by nature, the excitement of what God had done for me was flowing through me, and it became evident to all of those around me. The revelation of who Christ was as the Son of the Living God was as real to me on that day and is today as it was for Peter in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus said to him, "Who do you say that I am?" And it's on the revelation of that rock of truth, that we're called to declare wherever we go, that Christ is building his church and all who believe can become part of it. But you know, I think what happens a lot of time in our lives is that as we go on in faith and as we grow and mature in life and, you know, we get into our careers and we find our life partner and we have a family and, you know, we still love God and we still serve God and we still honor God, but perhaps the enthusiasm of discipling others can maybe just take that little back seat for a while. Look, we all know the scripture. You know, we know the truth. But maybe there are seasons where it's not the key priority in our thinking. So we might still invite people to church. We might invite them to special events. We might occasionally say, "Oh, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian." But maybe intentionally discipling others is not really something that we think about that much or that often. You know, one of the things I love about Pneuma Church is that we have made a commitment as a leadership team to keep the main things the main things. So the reason that we've set these seven kingdom values and we present them in this kingdom culture series and there's other series that we do through the year, the reason we do that is because we understand the importance of reminding ourselves and encouraging each other to keep the important things in life as the focus of our life. See, the thing is, we can all get off center at times. I don't think God wants to condemn us for that, but he does want to gently nudge us back to the reality of what things are central to the gospel and central to who he is. Now, I'm not a scientist or anything, but there is a branch of physics called thermodynamics. You've probably heard of that. It relates more to heat and energy than anything else, but it's a great illustration that flows into other areas of life. And the second law of thermodynamics is the law of entropy. And the law of entropy simply says that anything that is left to itself will slowly degenerate or deteriorate. So, in other words, any isolated system will degenerate to a less ordered state. Now, how many of you have kids? We had two. We've now got three grandkids, so it all starts again. But I remember times going into my daughter's bedroom and saying, how can I navigate my way through the floor? Because everything's everywhere. And so occasionally I'd say, clean up your nasty room. And I had two daughters, and they were both much the same. And so what would happen is that they wouldn't always listen to me. Am I hitting, you know, anybody relate to that? And so what would happen is it would get worse and worse and worse. So it was like this law of entropy taking place. Everything was slowly degenerating until finally the point came where even they said, we got to do something about this. And if it didn't get to that point, one of us would say, we've got to do something about this. And so then we would all start the process again. The truth is that anything, machinery, computer, systems, whatever, that is not maintained or upgraded will inevitably grind to a halt. If you do nothing, eventually something happens that will mean from that point on, nothing will happen. Now, to be honest, across the church and across the world, in particular in the Western world, I would say that there are sparks of growth in some parts of the church, but overall the church is still in a decline and church attendance is on the way down. Perhaps this law of entropy has been somewhat at work. You know, current stats available from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, about 2016 is the last census, I think, indicate that 61% of people in Australia still tick the Christianity box on their survey forms, but only one in seven actually attend church regularly. The average age of adults in churches today is 53 years old. Now, what could that mean for the next generation of the church? 47% of people who don't attend church today say they don't attend because it's irrelevant. They see it as irrelevant to their life. Now, that's probably their assumption because no one has really shown them how relevant God is to a vibrant, living life with Christ. And so their assumption is based not on reality of what the church is, but what their perception of what the church is. Now, the truth is we live in a world where there are so many distractions that are pulling people in so many different directions, and this society we live in has an answer for everything. So human beings, and by and large, I believe that they are their own solution. You know, there's a pill for this, there's an app for that, there's a therapy for this, there's something that will fix that, there's a solution for this problem. You just keep searching because you're the master of your own destiny and the answer is in you. That's how a lot of people would think in the world today. See, I believe people are looking for answers, but there's this constant screen of potential solutions before them. So why would people look to Jesus unless someone points the way? So in a world where people are disconnected from the life of the church community, if we, the people of the kingdom, the people who have the answer, tend to allow our lives to be consumed by the temporal things of life, as important as some of those things are, and we've got to live in this world, but if we allow them to become secondary, then we will not reach people and the majority of people won't come looking by themselves. Now, my message today is a challenge to myself as much as it is to anyone else in this room. Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples. His call here is for an active participation in the purposes of Christ to save the world. Now think about the purpose of Christ for a moment. He came to earth, he's born of a virgin, fully human, yet fully God. He lived a sinless life on earth and spent his time building kingdom principles primarily into a small group of people who would then take those truths and perpetuate them through the world. He fulfilled his earthly purpose, then he gave up his sinless life for the sins of the world, and he sent the Holy Spirit to empower those he left behind, his disciples, to be the light and the life to the world, to be his hands and his feet to the world for generations to come until such time as he comes again. In the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26, we read that the believers were the believers were first called Christians. Before that, they weren't called Christians, but in Acts 11, they were first called Christians. And the word Christians actually literally means little Christ-like ones. And it makes sense when you think of it, doesn't it? That if they were called to be little Christ-like ones, it's because they were called to do exactly what Christ did when Christ was on earth. Now, because of faithful men and faithful women over generations that have gone before us, the gospel has been preached and the light of Christ still shines today. But this is our time. This is our season. This is when we need to take hold of it. It's our responsibility to rise up against those stats that we read out before. Against those stats that say the church is in decline, and stay focused on the kingdom values that make the church strong. Making disciples is not an option. In fact, it's the very reason we exist on earth today. You know, if it were not God's heart that all men should have opportunity and not perish, then he'd just pop us off to heaven as soon as we got saved. You know, you'd be disappearing all over the place. Just hope you weren't flying a plane when that happens. So. But you see, that would be what would happen. But it doesn't happen because God's not finished with the earth. Now, maybe we should just touch on the thought for a moment that perhaps making disciples is someone else's responsibility. You know, like maybe it's the evangelist's job or it's the pastor's job. Maybe it's those who feel the call to do it or the grace of God on their life. They have the gift. But you know, this is another statistic. Only 2% of believers are actually active in evangelism around the world. And yet the Great Commission was given to all the first disciples to replicate and perpetuate what Christ had done in them. Now the inference here is clear in the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." So let's not forget here that all 11 disciples were called, but not all of them were evangelists. They all had different gifting, just like we do today. But the commission was on each of them to simply go and build into the lives of others just as Christ had built into them, and to make disciples who then in due course would do the same, and then those in due course would do the same until the world was one for Jesus. Now, I'm sure you've heard this before, but if you haven't, well, then you can hear it for the first time today. But this is, I actually worked this out just to make sure it actually works, but I've read it somewhere before. If one believer, let's say we started today with just one person who was a Christian, and that one person led one person to the Lord in 1 year, and then in the second year, those two people led two people to the Lord in the second year, and then the four people led four people to the Lord, and so on and so on and so on, the whole world of 7.6 billion people would be won in 30 years. 30 years. I thought you'd go, wow, but you already knew that, didn't you? Here, let's go even further. But wait, there's more. If every true follower of Christ on earth today led one person to Christ this year, and then everybody the next year, we would well and truly have won the whole world in 2 years. Now, these are just statistics. They're just a bit of fun, really. But what's not fun is that every conversation we don't have, every opportunity we don't take to reach into someone's life may be the last opportunity they have. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds for our own lives or for anyone else's. The bottom line is this: Jesus' last command should be our first priority. Okay, now let's go back to the fact that we're not all naturally gifted evangelists. It means that we don't have the same responsibility. You see, God's not asking you to be something that you're not. He's simply asking you to honor his command with who you are, with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, we're not left alone to fulfill the Great Commission. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before he ascended to heaven, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come and equip and empower believers to be able to carry his truth into the world. Now, we definitely need evangelists. We need evangelists as fivefold ministry gifting to teach and to train and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But we don't all need the gift and grace of evangelism to fulfill the Great Commission. What we do need is a commitment to the command of Christ, and we need the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to make disciples. You see, being a Christian is more than just believing in Jesus. It is actively pursuing the purposes of Christ. He's our Savior, but he calls us to follow him as Lord and therefore fulfill his command to be the little Christ-like ones to the world. And let me say one more thing, or a few more things, but one more thing in particular is that his command is make disciples, not make converts. Now, conversion is part of the process of becoming a believer, but there has to be a point of belief. But the goal in everything that Jesus taught and exemplified is that you will bring people on the journey with you. See, this whole thing, wasn't something Jesus just added along the way. Oh, I think before I go, I better just get this sorted out. It wasn't like that at all. In fact, right back at the start of his ministry thrust, when he first called the first two disciples, Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, he says to a couple of fishermen, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So what Jesus was really saying is, come and see what I do, then begin to do what I do, and then teach others to do what you do. Now, to me, this is a crucial point in understanding the purpose of disciple making, because our responsibility does not end at the point when a friend or a neighbor or a family member makes a decision to follow Christ. It doesn't stop there. You know, sometimes I think there's been this idea that, well, you know, we just get them into the kingdom. You know, get them into the kingdom, and then they'll sink or swim. And you know, our job's done. But really, you know, I think we know that there's more to growing a believer as a believer than hearing a message on a weekend or maybe doing a few new Christian classes. You know, all of those are good, and they're very much a part of the process. You know, we want you to be bringing people into the life of the church. We want you to be connecting with things that can help them. But the reason, you know, that's the reason we do all these things. We preach and teach to enrich the lives of those who come. You know, we have new Christian classes and life groups and things because they're all important parts of the process of building strong church community. But at the heart of it, the personal commitment of one life into another is what brings such strength to a person in their journey of becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ. Now, I would say, in my own, looking back over my own personal life, that one of the key reasons I continued to grow as a new believer is because some of the people who journeyed with me were there both before my salvation and after my salvation. God, by his grace and mercy, I know, can bring a person to wherever he wants them to be. So if the circumstances are such that that needs to be the case, but I think that's the exception rather than the rule. I think we've probably all heard stories of people in isolation where God has grown them and matured them and taught them to be. But that's not the way God planned it to be, even from a biblical point of view. By and large, the biblical pattern of Jesus is clearly a pattern for us. He sought them out. They came with him on the journey. He poured his life into them and empowered them to do the same. Now, this is where we get to the crux of the matter. Who are you investing your life into? That's the question. Who are you investing your life into? Who are you discipling? Who are you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, reproducing Christ in? In Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, "I'm with you always to the very ends of the age." That's such an assuring scripture because, again, it just confirms that we're not left alone. We don't have to work it all out ourselves. We don't have to feel that we have all the answers, because we have the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit with us in everything we do and all that we say. Now, for some of you, this message might just be a refreshing reminder to reactivate fundamental principles and responsibility in your life to actively engage in building one or more relationships with a disciple-making mindset. But to others, perhaps it's even a confirmation of the things that you're already doing in your everyday life. But you know, it's actually estimated that 95% of believers in the world have never personally led someone to Jesus. So for many today, it may be that this is an encouragement to rise up to the command of Jesus, because as you see today, disciple making isn't an option. Now, there's no special training required. You just need to step out in faith and activate that command that God has already spoken, and begin to bring someone on the journey with you. There are only a couple of things that you need to take hold of. Number one, his command must become your priority. Secondly, you have to go with confidence that he is with you, which he confirms in his word, and that you have to trust that the Holy Spirit will enable you. Now, I want to do something perhaps this morning, just very quietly in our seats today, just to cause us to have a few moments to reflect and think. But before I do, I just want to speak to anybody in this service today who maybe doesn't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today, maybe you came with a friend, maybe somebody who's already been speaking to you about Jesus and what it means to live for him. Maybe you've been on a journey for a while, like I was. You know, as I've said already today, there are many things in the world that offer help to us. And sometimes those things can become a distraction. And not all of those things are bad, by the way. But nothing can fill the void in our spirit like Jesus. You see, because I believe that we're spiritual beings, not just physical beings. And there's what I call in every person, there is what I call a God-shaped void that only God can fill. So no thing in the world, no self-help book, no amount of belief in yourself or things will help, because only God can put that right. Now today, the search for that fulfillment in your life can be over in a moment, because all you need to do is say yes to Jesus and you begin a journey of life with Him. It's that simple. It's that straightforward. So just ask if everybody would bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. And I just want to give a moment and then I'll pray for you. If you've never done that, if you've never committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody's looking around here, but maybe you just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else apart from that today, but I'd just like to know who I'm praying for. If I'm praying for anybody who's either never made a commitment of your life to the Lord, or you know that you've stepped away to the point that you need to make a decision to come back to Jesus. Is there anybody here today who would say, yeah, that's me, that fits me right now. I know that I'm not where I need to be with the Lord, and I want to put my life right now. If so, just put your hand up high so I can see, and then I'll pray. If there's nobody here, then I'm presuming that everybody falls into the second category, that you've already made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So let me speak to each and every one of you again today. You can look at me again if you want. Let me say again, disciple making is not an option. It's the command of the Lord, and it is the responsibility of every believer to invest what God has done in our lives into the lives of others. So here's what I want you to do for a moment. I want you to find a comfortable position, which is probably what you're already in. Sitting down, relaxed. Just relax before the Lord. No pressure, you don't need to stand. You can stand if you want to, but just be in a comfortable position. And just begin to quieten your heart before the Lord for a few moments. Maybe you want to close your eyes, maybe not. Maybe you want to raise your hands, or whatever you want to do. I want to ask you, firstly, if you feel that you have not been taking this as seriously as you should, for not taking the command to make disciples as seriously as you should, then just in the quietness of your own spirit before the Lord, just ask God to forgive you for that. See, God doesn't want to judge us. He just wants to forgive us and release us. So receive His grace right now. Just in your seat, just receive His grace and love and forgiveness for not taking the disciple-making responsibility as seriously as you should have. Now let's move on just a little bit and take a moment to commit from this very day to praying for friends and family and others in your life that you can begin a discipleship journey with them. So from today, be praying for them. Be praying for opportunities for God to let the light of Christ that's in your life shine into theirs. Now, maybe there's a number of people, but perhaps just focus on one person right now in your heart. One person. There may be a few, but right now, focus on one person and just get that person's name in your in your mind right now. Begin to just thank God that he's going to open opportunities for you to begin a discipleship process with that person. You know, for some it might take just a few weeks for that to happen. For some it could take months or perhaps even years. That isn't in our hands, that's in God's hands. But when you commit to the role, you know that he's already committed to his role. Now, the third thing that I want us to just take a moment on is that just because you make that commitment today doesn't mean that you feel able. So right now, I want to pray for you right where you are, still in your seats, for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill you and empower you for service. So just right now, why don't you just raise your hands and receive the freshness of the Holy Spirit into your life. You see, there's moments where God comes in his gentleness and his power, and this is one of those moments. And so God, I pray right now for each and every person in this place that you will refresh us and renew us and empower us and equip us and enable us by the presence of your Holy Spirit in our own lives. Help us to be your hands and your feet to this community, to our friends, to our family. Help us to rely and trust that you will be with us in everything that we do and everything you call us to. That every conversation, that the Spirit of the Lord will be flowing through us. That you will lead us on how to pray for people, what to say to people, and the right moments to challenge them on where their life is heading. So God, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now as we close the service here, let me just say one more thing. Don't let tomorrow be just another day. Start your day in prayer. Ask God to use you. Ask him to bring people to you, but also be sensitive in every situation, but gently and powerfully share Jesus with others as you begin to fulfill his purposes in your life. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.